Time and effort you dedicate to encourage us in song, to remind us that God is here, He's with us, and He's leading us. And He certainly leads us by His Spirit through the Bible, the Word of God. We want to turn in our Bibles at this time to Esther chapter 5. Esther chapter 5, we find that on page 685 in the Pew Bible. As we continue our series of messages on the book of Esther, how do you live as a religious minority today? In America, we'll find some answers there in the book of Esther. There's an outline of the message for you, Esther's finest hour, Esther chapter 5. There's an outline of the message in the bulletin as we study God's word together in Esther chapter 5. Remember Haman, Antichrist, is trying to make a holocaust of God's people happen. And Mordecai, Esther's older cousin, calls her out. She's the only one who could really stop this holocaust from happening. And he says those memorable lines. Really, everything leads up to it. Everything is flowing from that. Chapter 4, verse 17. And who knows whether you've come, Esther, to the kingdom for such a time as this. She says, all right, I'm going. If I perish, I perish. And here we see Esther's finest hour and what that means for us. Let's ask for God's help in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that by the Spirit of Jesus, you would take us up to see you as you are, that you would take us further into the love of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. So bless the reading of your word in the book of Esther. We thank you for it. Teach us, we pray, and may we leave here sharing with others the good news that we have been in the presence of the King, that this is one of the finest hours we've ever experienced. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word in Esther chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters while the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight. And he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to the half of my kingdom." And Esther said, "If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a feast that I have prepared for the king." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, so that we may do as Esther has asked." So the king and Haman came to the feast that Esther had prepared. And as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king said to Esther, "What is your wish? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled." Then Esther answered, "My wish and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my wish and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come to the feast that I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said." And Haman went out that day joyful and glad of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he neither rose nor trembled before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and brought his friends and his wife Zeresh. And Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and the servants of the king. Then Haman said, "Even Queen Esther, let no one but me come with the king to the feast she prepared. And tomorrow also I'm invited by her together with the king. Yet all this is worth nothing to me, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Let gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go joyfully with the king to the feast." This idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. You may be seated. So far, the reading of God's word, a man is blessing to it. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open and handy for the message on Esther's finest hour. Dear congregation of Christ, brothers, sisters, and Lord, friends of our church family, we were left hanging off a cliff. It was one of those cliffhangers last Sunday. as Esther had to make a choice one way or the other. Was she going into the presence of the king? We're all familiar with those cliffhangers. Some of us who are a little older remember the TV series Dallas, Who Shot J.R.? You had to wait a whole week to find out who shot J.R. One of the Marvel Avengers' latest movie, Thanos, the evil villain, right, wipes out half of the Avengers. And then it kind of pans out. There's Thanos just looking out into the sunset. You're like, what? And the movie ends. You're left hanging off a cliff so that you're, you know, you go back to the movies. And then you check out the end game coming in April. We're left with a cliffhanger. What does Esther choose? Well, she makes a choice full of courage. She goes into the king's presence, and we pick it up there as Esther, right? She doesn't know if she's going to die or not. She appears before King Xerxes, or King Ahasuerus, as known by the Jews. What's happening here? Well, we see that Esther's really brave. We've got a bold move here by Esther, and we also see together that Haman is full of pride, and that's why he's so mad. And then finally, you're welcome. You're welcome into the king's presence, the king of all the kings, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we see the bold move that Esther makes here. She is a brave heart for sure, and it's on the third day. When was Jesus Christ raised from the dead, boys and girls? He was raised on the third day from the dead. But on the third day, Esther put on a royal robe, stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters while the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the throne room. It almost goes into slow motion now. The movie is going into slow motion. And the author is has a keen eye to all of the details, where and when and how. And dear friends, we see from excavations, we've learned from the history books, the archaeologists have uncovered the ruins of Persia, and one of the huge palaces of King Xerxes was uncovered. And in that huge palace, there at the throne where King Xerxes sat, there is this huge statue or picture of an axeman, this huge Persian soldier holding an axe, ready to swing it down, poised for action. If anybody comes into the king's presence without the king's permission, without the king welcoming, there goes the axe, and you will be killed. Esther has a brave heart moment here. She is full of courage, appearing before the king. When the king saw, however, Queen Esther standing in the court, she won his favor. It's nothing short of a miracle. It's nothing short of a miracle that this happened. It's nothing short of a miracle for anyone to stand in the presence of King Jesus and survive. The only way we could survive being in the holy presence of the just King Jesus is by grace. And by grace alone. Esther, she risks everything. She risks everything, and instead of getting the death that she thought she would get, she actually receives life. The king Xerxes holds out his scepter. She touches it. It's the permission of approval and acceptance. Come on in. And then King Xerxes says, what do you want? Up to half of my kingdom, whatever you want. You want clothes? I'll get it for you. And I'll give you a new home just to put all the new clothes in. He goes, overboard, what do you want? Right? She appeals to the king. What is it that you want, Queen Esther? What's your request? It shall be given to you. And Esther said, if it please the king, verse 4, let the king and Haman come today at a feast that I am prepared for the king. Esther has guts. Right? She exercises courage. There's no thunder and lightning going off here. There's no splitting of the Red Sea. There's no one raised from the dead. No one who's blind is, you know, seeing here. There's nothing miraculous going on, but there's the invisible hand of God, right, leading Esther to be brave and go into the presence of the king. And Esther here, she's so wise, she's so savvy. We have to see that together as Esther wins the heart, really, of the king by being so meek, right? It's almost like fishing in the ocean and trying to get the big fish, right? And that's what she's doing. She's casting out her line, and she hooks this king, and then she starts reeling him in. King Xerxes gets played. That's really what's going on here. The king is getting played, and he really doesn't even know it. And Esther's so good and savvy, so wise and skillful. She's meek. Meekness, right? That the king makes a decision, and he really doesn't ultimately get it that she made the decision and gave him the idea to go ahead with what she wants. Esther hooks and reels the king in with a lot of meekness and a lot of subtlety. Boys and girls, what is meekness? Dear friends, how would you define meekness? Very important. The meek shall inherit the earth. Esther is meek, and she's inheriting more than what King Xerxes actually promises. She's meek. Boys and girls, what is meek? What does it mean to be meek? It means that I'm going to give up my rights to put God first and others ahead of me. To be meek means I'm putting God first and others ahead of me. I'm going to give up my rights. What do you have a right to, boys and girls, brothers and sisters? What do you have a right to? What do I have a right to? You only have a right to what God says you have a right to, and I have a right to. Boys and girls, when you want friends and you want to have fun, when you want fun friends and you don't have friends at school, they're bullies, or you're not having any fun because kids are calling you names. You don't have a right to fun. Neither do I. You don't have a right to friends. So we need to pray. We need to go into the presence of King Jesus and ask him for help to put him first and others ahead of you. For God to do what's fair, right? You think, this is unfair. I don't have any friends. I'm not having any fun. This isn't fair. I want what's fair. Boys and girls, it's time for you to wait then. To wait for God, your Father in heaven, who loves you and cares about you, to handle, to take care of what's fair. And to trust him for the time to make it all right. Ask Jesus Christ, your King, for wisdom. Ask Jesus Christ to be meek, like Esther. Esther is so meek here that, you know, she's trusting God that he's got the plan. He's ultimately, you know, the invisible hand of God is moving and putting everyone in place. She's not seeing miracles go off, but she makes that choice and decision. And she doesn't have, what does she say? She doesn't say, hey, Haman's right there. Right, he's going to kill the Jews. I'm one of them. Right, that's still a secret. She's keeping the secret that she's a Jew as well as Mordecai. She doesn't like go right ahead and barrel in and you know, bull in the china shop, so to speak, and point out Haman's right there. He's going to murder me and all of my Jewish people. No, she's very meek and subtle and patient. Right? We don't have to push God along when we're facing people like King Xerxes. And like Haman, we can patiently wait for the Lord to write the story. Our calling is to be meek, and God certainly rewards us when we take risks and when we are meek and patient with the Lord's timing, even as Esther was. The Lord rewards her, right? Even as King Xerxes rewards, and ultimately it's hyperbole, right? He's just saying lines, right? Queen Esther probably heard this, so did the other members of the harem of King Xerxes, that he liked to strut his stuff, right, and show off his wealth, and didn't keep a lot of his promises. But nevertheless, he makes an offer. And the Lord is showing us here that when you take a risk for Jesus Christ, he's going to reward you for it. Esther is rewarded for the risk that she takes, the courage that she demonstrates, the meekness that she shows. And God is going to reward you for taking a stand for him, right? Is there not a cause for you to own? It's the cause of King Jesus. Isn't there a Savior for whom you are called to give your pledge of allegiance, even when it's not popular, right? If I'm going to die, my career's on the line, maybe. Because I'm going to stand for biblical morality and for the values of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God rewards. That's what Jesus Christ said to Peter, right? Remember those words of Jesus Christ when Peter said, Lord, what do we get for following you? Right? The rich young man takes a hike, and because Jesus said you got to sell everything you have and come after me. Ooh, that's a risk, right? Didn't want to take the risk. Peter and the disciples followed Jesus Christ, giving up everything. Jesus Christ says, Peter, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you with the riches of my gospel kingdom. Not just half the kingdom, the whole kingdom. It's yours. When you give up everything, lose your life for my sake and follow me. Jesus Christ rewards you. For such a time as this, when we risk it all, when we risk it all, expect. That's what William Carey said. He was a missionary to India. William Carey says, expect God to do great things. Expect him to do it. Take a risk. Go out. Even on your own. If it's all by yourself, one person. Esther's the only one who could do it. She's the only one. You may be the only one who can do this and take this stand and make God's will known at this hour, at your finest hour. It's Esther's finest hour. Attempt great things for God, because we can expect great things from the Lord. Esther, she's bold and she is brave. And then And she offers, hey, you know, let's go to a banquet together, and it's a wine banquet. I mean, you'd even have wine for dessert at these banquets. Literally, it's a wine banquet. And there goes Haman off, high as a kite. High on what? High on wine, certainly, but high on his own big head. You pick it up there at verse 9, and Haman went out that day joyful, right, as Esther's reeling these two guys in, who are supposed to be the most powerful people in the world. Here you got the president, the most powerful person in the on the planet right now, King Xerxes, and his VP, his vice president, Haman. And she says, all right, come to the banquet tomorrow, another wine banquet. They love their wine, and they love showing off their power and their wealth. Come back, Haman goes out, right? Look at this, right? Haman is such a big ego, but it's fragile. Such a big and fragile ego that he's overreacting as he's high as, you know, on wine, as he's full of himself, he's bragging and strutting that, you know, I'm rubbing shoulders with the rich and the famous, and I'm in charge, and look at all of that I have, all of my sons, as if his wife Zerah should know that already. But he's bragging, right? He's got his brag bag out, and he's busy showing off. And, hey, I'm a big deal. A lot of people know me. So people should be worshiping me. People should think a lot of me. So people should be, you know, he's basing his value, right, his self-worth, his self-respect, on what people say about him. He's proud. Haman is a proud man. And Haman overreacts in this bad anger, this unrighteous anger, right? Because what? Mordecai's the only one. It's just one guy. Not telling him how great he is. One guy who says, no, hey, Haman, I'm not your fan. I worship the Lord, the one true and living God. I don't bow down to people. I'm not going to be your paparazzi to pump up your big ego. One guy, and then what does he do? He flies off the handle with wrath against Mordecai. And then he gets home and tells his wife and the family about it. His wife says, oh, I got it. Your ego is deflated. Your big head is deflated right now, my husband. Okay, I'm going to pump it back up. Here's the idea. Here, let's get some gallows out, and we're going to hang this guy. And it's not just any gallows. It's the 75-foot structure. Everyone can see what's going to happen. Mordecai is going to hang high on those gallows, and Haman will have his Holocaust. His wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, verse 14, let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged on it, then go joyfully with the king to the feast. This idea pleased Haman. My brothers and sisters, who are you blaming for your unhappiness? Who do I blame for my unhappiness? Stepping on toes, I know it. Mine too. Haman is blaming Mordecai for being so unhappy. Who do you do that with? I've got everything except that. And that, because I don't have that, I'm unhappy. And it's not just that I'm unhappy. I've got to make other people unhappy because I lash out in anger because I don't have it. Right? Obviously, Haman is not living in the presence of the God who is king, who humbles all of us, right? He's king. He thinks he's the man in charge. He's got a big ego, and it's a fragile one. Who's giving you grief? Who gives you grief? Maybe it's your boss at work. Maybe it's, who is Haman in your life? Who's Haman in my life? Maybe it's your spouse giving you grief. Maybe it's your classmate at school who's a bully. Maybe it's your kids. They're giving you grief. They're not doing right what you want them to do when you want them to do it. And what happens? Because we get so full of ourselves and pride, we lash out. There's good anger, but with bad anger, strong emotions like pride and especially anger, strong emotions help us see exactly what's going on in our hearts. What are you basing your image on, your security? I mean, what gives you peace, right? What gives you joy? What gives you happiness? Fill in the blank. If that person says that about me, I'm riding high as a kite, right? I'm walking on air. I'm great. You know, it couldn't be better in my life if I have that. But when I don't, I'm miserable, I'm unhappy, and I'm making everybody else unhappy or miserable. And who do you have around you to speak truth in your life? Zeresh was no friend to her husband. We're called to be friends to others. We're called to be good friends who speak the truth, the gospel, God's grace and truth into each other's lives. Are you surrounding yourself with people who are going to tell you lies? Am I? Or people who are going to tell you the truth of the Word of God to get your eyes back on the King? Because that could be your finest hour. That could be your finest hour. Pride and unrighteous anger always end in self-destruction. More on that as the story unfolds, but Haman's the one who's going to be hanging. That's where pride gets me. That's where unrighteous bad anger gets us. That's the end game. As there's a cliffhanger, what's going to happen here? We see together the welcome of the king. On the third day, Esther is received into the king's presence. And my brothers and sisters, King Jesus always has an open door for us. It's an open door of grace. Come, he says, come to me regularly, come to me daily. I'm the king of grace, not a king of, unpredictable, right? Happy one day, unhappy the next because I'm... because I don't have what I want, the worship of him or her. No, a satisfied, complete, right king. He doesn't need our worship, but wants it. He wants it in love. And on the third day, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, after what? After for my pride and yours, for your unrighteous anger and mine, King Jesus got the axe from the axe man. The axe fell on Jesus on the cross for the full free forgiveness of all our sins, our pride and our anger. And on the third day, he rose in great victory. So he's at the throne, right, of justice to be sure, but it's a throne of grace because the tomb is empty. And he says, come to me. Come right away, all the time, 24th, come to me and come into the presence of the king. And I'll give you what you want, what you crave, what you're longing for and looking for. And I will satisfy the longings of your heart for value. Your value is based on my unconditional love, not on the conditional acceptance of what he or she says, what they or he or she thinks, your performance, right? Or lack thereof. It's based on my performance, unconditional approval, acceptance, and love. You can't lose it. So who cares? Who cares what others say or think? What matters most is what I say and think about you. You're not only a citizen of my kingdom of grace, you are my beloved brother and sister. This is our finest moments when we go to obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need, says the book of Hebrews, our finest moment. So let us be loyal. Let us be loyal. And all the cliffhangers of our lives could go either way. I'll perish or not. My reputation, my job maybe. My pride. Let that perish. My unrighteous anger, let it perish. But let us be loyal to the cause of King Jesus, because King Jesus, our God and Savior, can handle anybody, anyone who's given you grief. He can handle the King Xerxes in your life. He can handle, and he will, the Hamans in your life. And he can handle, give it to him, your pride and your unrighteous anger, and he'll handle it. And he'll replace it with his humility and with his meekness. Will you give that to him? Will I? It will be our finest hour. So let us be brave, certainly like Esther. Let us be brave. What does that mean for us? There's a cause for us to be brave about, to put our reputations, as it were, maybe even our money on the line. To be counted for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to stand up and speak out, right? That's what we've been learning from the book of Esther. But we are called to have those finest hours. We cannot do everything. In the words of, talk to me later, I'll get it for you. I forgot the author, but in the words of a very wise man, he said, you cannot do everything, but you can do something. You can't do it all, but you can do something. And maybe that's there to be meek and to just, you know, what are you calling me to be the hero out in Washington, D.C.? No, we're just calling us, congregation, in our own homes, to stand up against our pride and our anger. That's where we're going to take a stand as men. As men of God, we're going to stand against our own. We're going to fight against our pride and anger. We're going to fight against it in our children and model and teach for them the humility and meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble enough to go with them, bringing them into the throne room of God to get the grace we need and they need too. And we're going to take a stand for the Lord's Day. We're going to take a stand for God on His day. We're going to take a stand, and no matter what it costs, we're going to stand for the Lord's Day, to worship the Lord, to gather with our family on the Lord's Day, to stand against the constant pressure to compromise, right? As the King is calling us into His presence every Lord's Day to get the grace we need to handle the Hamans and King Xerxes in our lives. Because on that day, it's not a day for sports. It's a day for worship. It's a day to gather together in prayer and in praise. Because congregation, I think this is what happened a little bit in growing up, and I'm not pointing fingers, I'm telling you my story too, because I grew up in circles a lot like yours, right? Where the message was what? On the Lord's Day, what can we do? What do we do? Well, I can't do that. We can't do that. Are you hearing me? Listen, please, carefully. The message is we can't do that. It has nothing to do with what's right or wrong, according to the law of God, the fourth commandment. Because on this day is the third day. Jesus is risen and reigning. It's not about what happened, I think, in a lot of our circles, in our minds, at least in some, is that, well, I can't do it. It leads to, well, why not? And then whatever. No, it's about right and wrong, black and white, in the Word of God. We're taking a stand. Our children need to see it. Let's not leave them hanging by a cliff. Let it be our finest hour. Because the King has held out to us the scepter of his cross. Touch it. And we will be healed. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, would you please give us and our children the courage we need to stand on your word, to stand for the gospel, to stand on that good news that on the third day Jesus rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, we thank you for taking the axe of the cross for us and for our salvation. Forgive us, free us, O Lord, by that amazing grace from our pride and of our unrighteous bad anger. Lord, we wait on you. Give us patience. Give us courage and bravery, Lord, and commitment to your word, the whole counsel of the word of the Lord, to stand for the Sabbath, to stand for the Lord's day, worship with your people. Lord, may it be our finest hour. Thank you that we can find the grace we need, the mercy we need, the unconditional love we long for and seek in all of the wrong places from all of the wrong people. Thank you for that unconditional love that never wavers from you, our King. Lord, please replace my anger and pride, our anger and pride. Replace it with the meekness and humility of Jesus. Help us to wait, O Lord, because you are moving. You are directing. You are leading. So we don't have to claim our rights. Lord, you first, and let others go ahead. Lord, we pray for you to help us when we try to blame others for our unhappiness. Forgive us for that, Lord, and Lord, teach us contentment. Show us in our emotions, Lord, the idols of our lives, the false wannabe gods that can never satisfy and always punish. And please destroy those idols in our lives. You may reign supreme, Lord Jesus, and you alone. So, Lord, when we're worried and afraid, when we feel threatened by those who want to give us grief, just like Haman, Lord, may we be confident that we are in your hands, that you can handle them. Lord, we pray that you would make us strong and courageous Christians, that these may be our finest hours and moments. Lord, thank you that Esther's finest moment happened at the most uncertain of times. May we carry that with us, Lord, and bless us now as we give our gifts to you, Lord Jesus. We ask for all of these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give our tithes and offerings to the Lord. The offering will be